Tonight's shiur was starting a new chapter in Likutei Moran, and actually a new section in Likutei Moran. This section, the next nine chapters in Likutei Moran, are going to be dealing with a debate that took place between one of the most outstanding rabbis of the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, who the Gemara calls Chakima de Yehudoin, the wisest of the Jews during his generation, going against the Sovei Devei Atuna, a group of 70 of what was considered at that time the most intelligent people in Athens. Atuna is that. And we said last week, we started to say that the Gemara tells a fascinating story as to how this debate began, what initiated it, how he was able to get into the place where they were located, and to get them to be willing to get into this type of conversation. And the Gemara presents a whole series of riddles that they started throwing at each other. They asked him questions, he answered, he asked them questions, they answered. And a person looking at this discussion on the surface, it seems sort of weird. A weird discussion to be taking place between such geniuses, such intellectuals. There are different meforshim that give different beautiful interpretations and explanations as to what the meaning behind what they were saying really was. Rabbeinu Zal presents incredibly important, practical advice on being a good Jew and being a good human being and succeeding in life based on these riddles, based on the discussion that took place between these two groups, between Rabbi Shub and Hananya versus them. This chapter on Likutei Moran that we're starting now will take a few weeks to learn, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, a few shiurim, and this chapter deals primarily with the topic of money, the positives and the negatives, and there's a lot of information as to where it is, where money has its place in Kedusha, and where it has its place in the opposite extreme. We'll start. This section is entitled Sovei Devei Atuna, and Rabbeinu Zal begins chapter Chof Gimel, Torah Chof Gimel. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 79, the right-hand column, about a third of the way down the page. This is based on a Gemara in Bechoro Yistav Ches Amid Beis. The Gemara there says that they said to him, these wise men of Athens said to him, Eimolon mili dichdivi. Tell us something that's false. Omar Luhu, he said to them, Havilon kidenaisa viyolda. There was a mule that gave birth. Vahavataliale piska, and the baby mule that was born had a paper, a note around its neck. Uksivbe, it was written on this note, the masik bebe abo mea alfezuzi, that there's a debt in the father's house of 100,000 zuz. Omrulei, so they said to him, the wise men of Athens said to Rabbi Shub and Hananya, the kadanaisa mi yolda, can a mule give birth? Omar lahu, he said to them, haininhu mili dichtivi, this is an example of something false. You asked for something false, I gave you an example of something not true. Kudanaisa means a male mule. The next item, they asked him, Milcho kisarya b'may molchile. Salt, when it spoils, what do you use to salt it? In order to prevent spoilage. Usually, we assume that when you want to prevent spoilage in meat or something else, you salt the meat. What do you do to prevent spoilage in salt? So he said to them, Bisilusa de Kidanaisa. You use the ovary of a Kudanaisa, of a mule. So they said to him, Umi ika silusa de Kidanaisa. Is there such a thing? Does such a thing apply to a mule? So he said to them, Umolcha misaria. Does salt spoil? This was the debate. This was the discussion that took place between them. Rabbeinu Zal quotes the Rashbam here, Rashi, Mili Dichdivi, false words, Dovar Chozov, the Hebrew translation, Kidenaisa, Preda means a mule.
Tola Piska Shtar Bitzavori Shelavlad. There was a written document hanging in a note from the neck of this item that was born. And he said, Hainin hu milidich divi, Eluheim divrei chozov. These are the false words. You asked for something false, I gave you something false. Silusa, shilia. Shilia is the item.
The placentia.
The placentia? Okay, I had thought that that's what it was. Rabbi Rosenfeld, Zichron Evrocha, on his tape, mentioned this word over and over, and I had a question myself. It means the sack in which the baby is found. Now, Rav Nosson Zal says, Loshoin Rabbeinu Zal. This chapter on Likutei Moran is the exact wording. Rav Nosson Zal copied it from Rabbeinu Zal's notes, which means in many cases that it's going to be a little bit more difficult to follow. Usually, Rav Nosson Zal explains much more and elaborates much more. Whereas when we have the Loshoin Rabbeinu Zal, it's usually more concise, sharper. Rabbeinu Zal bases this chapter on a pasuk in Tehillim, also Tzivisa Tzedek Eidei Secha Ve'emuna Mo'oid. Rabbeinu Zal begins, Kiyesh Ponim Dikdusha. There is a concept of a holy face, Shehem Anpin Nehirin, which means a lit up face, a face that has, that shines. Bechinas Chaim, a concept of being alive. Rabbeinu Zal is going to mention a few different items that all equal each other, or they all symbolize this, symbolizes this, which symbolizes that. They're all on one track. Kemoy Shekosuv, as the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Bo'er Pnei Melech Chaim, with the light of the face of the living king. So we see the connection between the Oyer Haponim, Oyer Panei, and Chaim, living. Bechinas Simcha, this is a concept of joy. Kemoy Shekosov, as the Pasuk says, Soiva Semochois Es Ponecho, that I'll fill your face with joy. So the Oyer Haponim, the light on the face, is a manifestation of Simcha. Uksiv, there's another pasuk that says, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem. When Yaakov Avinu found out that his son Yosef HaTzadik, who he thought, he suspected, might be lost forever, when he was told that his son was alive, and the pasuk wants to tell us that he was filled with joy, it says, Vatechi Ruach, he lived up, he lived it up. Living it up means filled with simcha, filled with light on the face. That's on one side of the fence. And on the other side, v'yesh ponim de sitra achra. There is a face of the other side. Sitra in Aramaic means side. Achra means the other. The other side, which means the satan, tuma, evil. Shehem anpin chashuchin. They are known in the language of the Zohar HaKadosh as the dark faces. Mora shchera, despondency, depression. Avodah Zarah, Avodah Salilim, Kemoy Shekosov, as the Pasuk says, Lo yiyeh lecha elokim acherim al ponai. In the Ten Commandments, when Hashem instructs the Jews not to worship idols, he says there should not be any other Hashems al ponai in front of me. Al ponai also means on my face, implying that there's a kesher by them, by elokim acherim. There's also a ponim. They also have a ponim, but it's the opposite type of ponim, the opposite of the ponim of kedusha. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, ve'elu b'nei odom hanoiflim b'taivas momoin, those people who have the misfortune of falling into the desire for money, the desire for excess money, more than what a person needs, ve'eino ma'aminim shakodesh baruch hu yoch, and these people, as a result of this taivas momoin, they're driven to do more than what they need to do. Rabbeinu Zal says, ve'eino ma'aminim, they don't believe shakodesh baruch hu yochei lefarnes es ha'odom b'sibo kala. They don't believe that it's within Hashem's power to provide their parnosa easily through a very simple means. Instead, instead of keeping things simple and not doing all kinds of wild gyrations, they chase after their parnasa with tremendous efforts. These people eat their bread with despondency, with depression, with suffering, meaning they live, their parnasa comes with suffering. As the pasuk says, when Hashem cursed Adam and Chava after eating from the Eitz Hadas, the curse was, with depression, toichalno, you will eat, that your parnasa will not come easily. The atzvus humora shchayra. Rabbi Nazal says atzvus, which means depression, is a form of despondency, a form of bitterness, blackness. Elu b'nei Adam, these people who fall into this type of ditch, nikshorim b'ponim the sitra achra, they become attached to this face of the Satan, b'chinas, which is elikim acherim. This concept of these idols, choshech, darkness, bechinas misa, a concept of death. K'moy shekosuv, as the pasuk says, b'machashakim hoishivani k'meisei oilam. The pasuk continues with the words k'meisei oilam. B'machashakim hoishivani, that there is a darkness that's associated with misa, with death. This is this anpen chashuchin, which is a form of death. It's a person who's living through death, rachmona litzlon. Va'alehem nemar, and about them the pasuk says, uzahovam lenida, that their gold is lenida. What is lenida? Hainu bechinas avodah zarah. Nida in this case represents avodah zarah. K'moy shomer chazal, as the Gemara says in the beginning of the ninth parak in Masechta Shabbos, minayin la'avodah selilim shemetame kenida. How do we know that avodah zarah defiles a person, it's metame a person, like blood, like dam nida, shenemar, because the pasuk says about avodah zarah, tizreim kemoi dove, you will disperse them like dove. Dove is a term that refers to dam nida. So we see that avodah zarah is compared to dam nida. These people that worship idols of money, Elokei Chesef, Elokei Zahav, the pasuk talks about it, a concept of a certain worship for money that drives a person to do more than what they're supposed to do or more than what they need to do. Rabbi Nazal says this is what this is talking about. Avol elu bnei Adam shemasom umatonom beemuna, but those people who conduct their business with faith in Hashem, heim dveikim bi'oir haponim dikdusha. Those people are attached to the light of the face of kedusha. Rabbi Nazal explains now, ki ein em, because the term for earning parnosa the right way is called masa umaton be'emuna. That's the terminology that's used in the Gemara. Rabbi Nazal now is going to explain what the word emuna means in this context, and you're going to see that the emuna is tied into this concept of a lit up face. Rabbi Nazal explains now, ki ein emuna beloy emes, because the concept of emuna cannot exist without truth. To use the word faith, if a person says, I believe that this wall is a giraffe, that's not called believe. It's a misuse of the term of the word belief, because the introduction, the prerequisite to saying I believe is the fact that I accept that as truth. We say in the davening in the morning, emes ve'emuna choyk v'layavar. Truth and faith are inseparable. When we use the term emuna, the Zohar HaKadosh says it must be mekusher to emes. Kemuva b'zoyar, as is explained in the Zohar Kodesh, where the Zohar Kodesh asks in one place, Hainu tzedek, Hainu emuna. There's a pasuk where it puts these two terms together, tzedek and emuna. So the Zohar Kodesh asks, what's the difference? Both of them represent righteousness. Both of them represent trustworthiness. Why does the pasuk use two different terms? Umasik sham, and the Zohar Kodesh concludes over there, emuna iskerias kadischaber bo emes. That tzedek refers to a certain level of righteousness. But emuna means when emes is attached to tzedek, it becomes emuna-like. When it's pure emes, pure unadulterated emes. Nimtza she'ikar emuna al yedei emes. So we see that the main foundation of emuna is emes. The emes hu oir haponim ki yadua. And emes is always called the light of the face. Where do we prove this from? The pasuk says by Yaakov Avinu, mevakshe ponecho Yaakov selo. Those who seek out your face, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is always called Emes. Titein Emes li Yaakov chesed lavrom. So that Emes is called the Oyer Haponim, which means, simply, that when we say, the Pasuk says, Chochma Sodom Toyer Ponov, that the intellect of a person is what brightens the person's face, what's the purest form of Chochma? Emes, truth. That's the purest, Tachlis of Chochmah is to understand the Emes, whether it be in mathematics, whether it be in science, whether it be Lahavdil in Torah, whatever it is, the success in Chochmah is understanding the truth of that item. So Rabbi Nezal says here, so therefore, the concept of Masa Umatin Be'emuna means Masa Umatin with Emes. Emes is Oyer Haponim, so those people who seek out their Parnosa in a kosher way, the right way, they are Mekusha to this Oyer Haponim of Kedusha, which is the opposite of Be'itzavo in Toichalna, the opposite of Misa, and all of these other things he listed here. Now Rabbi Nezal says, "V'zeh shomru chazal." This is what the Gemara is referring to when the Gemara says that at one point in time Yaakov Avinu came to the city of Shechem, I believe it was, and it says that vayichan pnei ho'ir. He rested at the entrance to the city. So the Gemara says, "What does this mean? Vayichan pnei ho'ir? Pnei ho'ir means the face of the city, implying he gave the city a facelift." That expression that we have in English, a facelift, that's the expression that's being used here, vayichan pnei hoyir. So the Gemara says, what kind of facelift did he give to the city? The Gemara says there are two opinions. One rabbi says, matbea tiken lohem, that Yaakov Avinu instituted currency. He instituted a coin. He introduced a coin to them, a way of doing parnasa. The Chad Omar, and another rabbi says, Merchatzois tiken lohem. He instituted bathhouses, a concept of purity, mikveh. That's what he instituted there. Rabbi Nezal explains, Hainu hach v'loi pligi. Both of these opinions are actually referring to the same concept. Ki Yaakov hu bechinas emes. Yaakov Avinu is the symbol of emes. Kamo shekosuv titein emes li Yaakov. By the way, to connect what we said earlier about emes being life, one of the Meforshim, I believe it's Rav Shimshon Shapoyezal, says there's a statement in the Gemara where the Gemara says Yaakov lo meis. Yaakov Avinu did not die. He's one of those people that didn't die. Rav Shimshon Shapoyezal says, where do we see this in a pasuk? So he says the pasuk says titein emes li Yaakov. These two words, emes li Yaakov, actually make up the letters of the words Yaakov, Loi, Meis. Emes, the Aleph of Emes, and the Lamed of Liyakov make up the Loi, and then you have the words Loi, Meis, Yaakov. So we see that Yaakov Avinu, who's the symbol of Emes, Oyer Haponim, he's the symbol of the opposite of Meis, Chaim, Bo'er Pnei Melech Chaim. So Rabbi Nezal says now, Yaakov Avinu is the symbol of the Oyer Haponim. The Gemara says that on the Levona, whose face is on the Levona? When we see the Levona shining brightly and there appears to be the face of a person, that's the face of Yaakov Avinu. Because he represents this Oyer Haponim. The Gemara says, Shufrei de Yaakov, ke'en Shufrei de Odom Arishon. That the beauty of the face of Yaakov Avinu, the light of his face, was similar to the light of the face of Odom Arishon. All this concept of Oyer Haponim. The take of Kishebo, and as soon as Yaakov Avinu came to this place, Nestake Nemuna. If he was Emes, then when he came to a place, immediately the Emuna got fixed up. Because Emes is the preview to Emuna. Vizeh matbea tiken. This is what it means when it says he was misaken matbea. He was misaken currency. It means shetiken taivas momoin. It means he fixed up that which is related to matbea. He fixed up the union of taivas momoin, the desire, the wrong type of desire for money. Ukishetiken taivas momoin. And when a person is misaken the taivas momoin, nistaken pegam avoy dezora. he automatically fixes the pigam of avodah zorah. V'zeh merchatzois tikein lohem. This is why it says he fixed up. The other opinion was that he gave them bathhouses. A bathhouse is the symbol of where one goes to wash themselves from avodah zorah. Kamoish kosuv, as the pasuk says in Chumash, we just had this a week or two ago. Vatered bas paroi lirchoitz, that the daughter of paroi went down to the river to bathe. And the Gemara darshins lirchoitz to bathe from what? Why would the Torah bother telling us she was going down to bathe? V'dorshu chazal, the Gemara darshins lirchoitz migilulei beisoviho. She was going to convert. And the first step in conversion process is the dipping into the mikveh. This is what she was going to rinse away the stains of avodah zorah that she had on her. V'zeh vayichan pnei hoyir. This is why the Torah uses the terminology that Yaakov Avinu gave the city a facelift. He perfected the ponim of the ear. Pnei daiko, shehi ponim the sitrachra. This refers to the ponim of the sitrachra, shehi matbea, which can be associated to money. Hainu taivas momoin, ki kol avoidois zorois tchuvin momoin. Because all the different types of idols are carved out within money. Note, on the currency of, as far as I know, all different currency of different countries, especially the US of A, they have written on the currency in G-D, we trust. And this coin is the best proof that we don't trust in him. Because if we trusted in him, we wouldn't have our bank accounts. People don't trust in him, they trust in their bank account. It's according to how many dollars a person has in their bank. That's what gives them their trustworthy. That's what gives a person their security, how fat their bank account is. Get the same person, the same fat cat, who's got his $10 million and erase the $10 million, you'll see who he's trusting in. You see how much of a lack of trust, lack of confidence, self-confidence or any confidence that the person has. Whereas a person who's truly religious, to such a person, whether they have $10 million in the bank or 10 agurot in the bank or nothing in the bank, the person still has the same degree of trust that the same Hashem who kept me alive when I had the 10 million is the one who gives me life and who can continue to give me life without the 10 million. Question of where a person is putting their trust and their confidence. Ubishvil zeh, Rabbi Nazal says, for this reason, momoin im oisi oisov gimatria kuf mem. The Hebrew word momoin, mem mem vav nun, with the four letters, adding the four letters to it, is bigimatria 140, has a numerical value of 140. Keneged kuf mem kolin shehashchino tzavachas. This corresponds to the 140 cries that the Shechina cries out. Kalani miroishi, kalani mizroi. My head is heavy and my arm is heavy. The Gemara mentions this in Sanhedrin, that this is the crying that the Shechina does when it sees Rishoim suffering. That even when Hashem sees the worst Rishoim suffering, it pains Hashem. And the Gemara says the Shechina cries out, Kalani meiroishi, kalani mizroi. I'm heavy. It's a heaviness on my head and a heaviness on my arm. The Gemara says, imagine if this is how Hashem feels over Rishoim's suffering, could you imagine how much it pains him when he sees Sadiqim suffering? But in any case, there's discussion of this double crying from the head and from the hands, corresponding to the tefillin. So now Rabbi Nazal says, the Shechina cries, al elu hanoiflim b'taivas momoin, over those people that fall into the taivas momoin, sheheim avodah zorah, klulim me'avodah zorah shel ayin umos. This is an avodah zorah that's koilel all the avodah zorahs of all 70 nations, which means the Jewish nation is considered to be loyal to Hashem, Hashem echod, one Hashem. By the goyim, there's a concept of many, Elokim Acherim, plural, many, many. Each one of the 70 nations, the Zohar HaKadosh and others form explain, Lahavdil, just as there's a United Nations on this world, we know it to be a junkyard or a sewer, something, other words we don't want to use in a shul, or in the context of Torah, Lahavdil, in heaven, there's also a concept of the United Nations, where there are representatives, there are angels that represent each and every single one of the nations on earth. And these angels are considered to be their Elohim. Elohim is a word that's used to refer to an angel also. The Malach that represents each one of these nations is called their Elohim. So there are Elohim Acherims for the other nations. There's Hashem Echad over Eretz Yisrael, the Zohar HaKadosh says, or over the Jewish people. So the Rabbeinu Zal says here that the Ra of all 70 nations, the Avodah Zarah of all 70 nations, is rolled up into this package called Taivas Momoin. It has in it an evil that's a combination of all the evil that comes from all 70 nations of the Goyim. V'alkein heim kuf mem kolin. And it's for this reason that there are specifically these 140 screams. Shehem beiz pa'omim ayin. 140 is 2 times 70. Ki hashchino tzavachas hakolin kfulim. Because the Shechina cries out a double cry. Bechinas kalanim iroishi, kalanim izroi. This double coil. Shehu bechinas koilos kfulin. A double sound. Hainu shnei pa'omim ayin kolin shetzavachas hashchino alanoiflim b'tayves momoin. This refers to the 2 times 70 koilos that the Shechina cries out over those that fall into tayves momoin. Shehu avodah zarah klula mikol avodah zarah shel ha'ayin umos. This is the avodah zarah that has in it the ra of all 70 nations. Why 70? Why 70 nations? Because just as when Yaakov Avinu was at his climax, when Yaakov Avinu was building the foundation of the Am Yisrael, when he went down to Mitzrayim, they went down as Shivim Nefesh, 70 souls. That's the Bnei Yisrael, the Yisoid of Bnei Yisrael. Corresponding to that, in evil, we have the equal opposite force, Rachmon al-Islam, of these 70 nations, going against this Yisoid of Shivim Nefesh. So Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh shomer Chazal." This is why the Gemara makes a statement and says, "Koshe mizaynoisov kiflayim kiyoleda," that parnasa is twice as difficult as childbirth. We men have no conception whatsoever what that means. From what we're told by the women, a man could never imagine in his wildest dreams what type of pain is associated with childbirth. And yet the Gemara makes a statement that parnasa is twice as difficult as childbirth. Why? Rabbeinu Zal explains, ki hayoyledes ramas ayin kolin koidem aleda. Because we know, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us, that a woman, before she gives birth, before she can bring a child into the world, she screams forth 70 screams. V'hocho yesh kuf mem kolin shem shnei pomim ayin. Whereas when it comes to money, parnoso, the word momoin is bigamatri 140, representing twice that, twice as difficult. The earning parnoso is twice as difficult as childbirth. V'zehu, and this is what the Mishnah means when it says in Perkei Avos, va'al tihi rosha bifnei atzmecha. Do not be a rosha. How? Bifnei atzmecha. Rabbeinu Zal explains, bifnei zebechinas ponim desitrachra. Don't be a rosha in ponim, because there is a ponim of rosha. There is this ponim of the sitrachra. Habo machmas taivas momoin. What gives a person that ugly face? Rachman al someone, a person has this taivas momoin. She'ein mamin ba'kodesh baruch hu. The person doesn't believe in Hashem. Shehu hazonu mefarnes. That it's Hashem that gives parnosa. V'hu choyshev. And the person thinks, koichi voitzem yodi osali achayel azeh. That it's my strength and my brains that have given me whatever I have. V'zeh atzmecha loshen oitzem yodi. This is what it means, bifnei atzmecha. A person who has a ponim of one who believes in oitzem yodi, he believes that it's he that's going to earn it, it's he that's going to do it. Rachman al-Islam, that leads to Russia. That leads to being a Russia, a person whose ponim is in this category of atzmecha. Koichi voitzem yodi. Ponim means the issue of money, the topic of money. Yaakov Avinu, Matbea Tikein, and by him it's a ponim of Atzmius, where he believes in himself. Not in Hashem we trust, but in me I trust. That kind of thing.
I thought that the 70 nations, their major pogrom was in Tikein. kind of brus. And now Rabbi Angel seems to suggest that it was religion.
Good question. We learned in another chapter in Likut Imran, and it's mentioned in a few chapters in Likut Imran, that the Ra HaKoylel of all 70 nations is Pigam HaBris. It's specifically the evil sins related to men and women and that whole topic. How is it that Rabbeinu Zal here mentions it related to money? The answer is, that's question number one. Question number two, there's a story in Sipurim Isis where Rabbeinu Zal discusses a Baal Tefillah, a tzaddik, trying to correct and fix up 10 different places where they had terrible problems. And over there, it seems to imply that the ones that had the worst problem were the place where they worshipped money. Rav Nosson Zal Likutei Halachos goes into a very interesting explanation to show that these two are actually one. These two go together. When we talk about idol worship, the Gemara says that the reason when the Jews worship the Egel HaZohov, Taivas Mamoin, gold, silver, they did it only Lahatir Lohem Arayos. The reason why they wanted money was to open doors in Arayos. That's just one example where the Torah connects the two. It shows that these two are linked together. Money and women, Rahman al-Islam, people that get involved. What's this yo-yo's name that just fell? Trump. Money, billions, women, garbage. That's the Seder. Person goes from money to this to nothing. These two, Rahman al-Islam, in Sidra Achra, generally are linked together. There's a pasuk, Eshes Ish, Nefesh Yikoro Hitotsud. A woman, Rahman al-Islam, a woman who wants to commit a sin in this item, who does she trap? Who does she ensnare? Nefesh Yikoro. An expensive person, like, in other words, wealth. That these two, Rahman al-Islam, are very much attached. And Rav Nosson Zal there explains it much greater, you know, greater at length, showing that these aren't necessarily two separate things. They're both tied in together. This is why we find the Gemara makes a statement that the wealth of a person comes through his wife. The Gemara says, "Oikiru l'neshaychi ki hechi detesatru." Respect your wives so that you'll get parnosa. Both connected. The Gemara says that a person who steals money from somebody else, it's as if he stole his wife. The Gemara makes the connection between these two items. We're just starting. You'll see that this Torah is going to explain a lot of different items related to this. Just be patient. Next, Rabbeinu Zal says, "Veda, and you should know, she'al yedei tikun bris kodesh hu nitzul miponim de sitra achra." That if a person has this problem of ponim de sitra achra, which means taivas mamoin, rachmon al itzlon, the tikkun for it, the way to save oneself from it, is through tikkun abris. Al yedei dam bris nistakein dam nido. Because we know that these two are opposites. Dam nido represents a concept of tuma. Dam bris represents a concept of holiness, purity. So if we compare taivas mamoin to dam nido, the tikkun for it is dam bris, the purity of a bris kodesh. Kemay shekosuv, as the pasuk says, gam bedam brischo al yedei bris sholachti asirayich miboyer. Through your dam bris, I allowed those of you that were trapped to be released from their dungeon, asirayich, to come out of boyer. Rabbeinu Zal says, boyer dotochel. The word boyer, the Zohar HaKadosh says, refers to the spleen, which is the place from where atzvus, depression, comes from. Morashchira, depression. Be'itzovo in toichalna, this concept of suffering, struggling through parnosa. So Rabbeinu Zal connects these two now. He says that you should know that tikkun abris is what counters taivas momoin. Because taivas momoin, which represents atzvus, is the concept of the spleen. The opposite of that, the pasuk says, gam bedam brischa sholachti asirayach miboyer. Through dam bris, through tikkun abris, I take you out of the boyer, the ditch, out of the tochel, out of the spleen, out of atzvus. Ki bris hu bechinas melach hamamtik merirus ve'itzovoin haparnoso. Because tikkun abris represents the concept of salt. Salt is also called bris. Bris melach olam. In the Torah, salt is called bris. Rabbeinu Zal says, tikkun abris represents a salt that sweetens
all the bitterness and depression of Parnasa. Kemuva bezoyar, as is brought in the Zohar Kodesh uses this wording. Il mole milcha loy havi alma yachli lemisbal merirusa. Were it not for salt, the world would not be able to withstand the bitterness that's found in this world. Implying that salt is a sweetener. Salt is something that weakens the bitterness. V'zehu bris melach oilam hu. The pasuk says bris and melach go together. V'zehu al tashbis melach bris elikecha. Do not violate the salt, the covenant with Hashem. Rabbi Nezal says elikecha daiko. It's called bris melach elikecha, not elikim acherim. This is your Hashem. Ki al yidei zeh niskasher be'elukus. Because through tikkun abris, this is what attaches a person to elokecha, to heavenliness. V'nisparesh me'avodah zarah, and this cuts off a person, separates a person from avodah zarah. K'moy shekosav, as the pasuk says, mibsori echse eloka, from my basar, from my flesh. Which flesh? This refers specifically to the bris milah, the concept of the bris milah. Through that, echse elokai, I get to see my Hashem. That's what brings me close to Hashem Echod and detaches me from the elokim acherim. Ki al yidei tikkun abris meir liatzmoy or pnei melechayim. Because through tikkun abris, a person brings into his life this light of the face of the living King, kaviyochol of Hashem. This is what the Gemara means when the Gemara says in Ksubas, Melach Momoin Choser. The Gemara says that if a person has money and they want to salt their money away, they want to make sure that the money is going to last. It's not going to fade away. It's not going to drip out of a hole, holes in their pockets. How do you salt your money? The Gemara says, Choser. Subtract from it. Make sure to take off the tzedakah. Give away what you're supposed to give away. Choser means to decrease it. Decrease it by what you're supposed to, and then the remainder will be able to last with you. You'll see it'll be able to cover all your needs. That's the pshat over there. Rabbi Nezal says, Melach momoin choser, al yidei melach nismait etzloi taivas momoin. Through melach, melach will be chaser momon. Melach will subtract from a person's taivas momoin. If a person has a desire for too much money, more than what they need, more than what they're supposed to have, melach will decrease it. It'll keep it in check. What is melach? Melach is bris. Melach is the symbol of tikkun abris. So here Rabbi Nezal says, through tikkun abris, a person can be zeche to a tikkun for taivas momoin. Rabbi Nezal says, "Vezehu vayigoresh miponecho oyev vayomer hashmed." There's a pasuk in Chumash where it says Hashem chased away the Jews' enemies from before them, miponecho, from in front of your face, vayomer hashmed, and Hashem said, "Let them be destroyed, let them be wiped out." Rabbi Nezal explains now, "Vayomer hashmed, vayigoresh miponecho oyev miponecho dikdusha, ponecho of the Jews." Refers to the ponim of Kedusha. Vayomer hashmeid, loshen shmad, loshen avodah zarah. The word hashmeid is miloshen shmad, means idol worship, conversion to idols. Hainu taivas momoin. This refers to taivas momoin, which is a form of idol worship. Elokei chesef velokei zohov. Ki kol Yisrael nikroim tzadikim. Rabbi Nezal says, you should know, all the Jews are considered tzaddikim al shem habris, because of the bris, because of the covenant that we have with Hashem. The Zohar HaKadosh says, man tzaddik, man denotar bris. Who is called tzaddik? One who is shemer habris. So the whole Jewish people who are included within this bris, this covenant, are all considered, in a sense, tzaddikim. We have a pasuk that says, va'amech kulam tzaddikim. Ubishvil zeh, therefore, kishemegorish mipneihem dikdusha esoyev. When Hashem chases away from before the face of kedusha, the Jews, when Hashem chases away their enemies, whom mapil oisam hoivim beponim the sitrachra, hainu hashmed. Hashem throws the enemies of the Jews into this ponim of the sitrachra,
which is Hashmed. He throws them into Shmad, which means that their downfall is into Taivas Momoin. It's their greed and desire for Momoin that ends up being their downfall. Nimtza, Rabbeinu Zal says, we see from this, Kol Tzadik V'Tzadik, Kishe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roitze Legaresh Oivov Shel Tzadik, each and every single tzaddik, when Hashem wants to eliminate the enemies of the tzaddik, who mapil esoyev b'tayvas momoin, Hashem gets his enemy to fall into this wrong type of desire for money. Ki tzaddik hu bris oilam, because a tzaddik is the symbol of purity in bris. The person who's against the tzaddik, Ein loy melach lahamtek miri rusoy. He does not have this salt that he needs to sweeten the bitterness. Ki melach momoin choser. Because we say that these two go together. A person who falls into taivas momoin, a person who's against the tzaddik, against the bris melach, he's lacking in melach. If he's lacking in melach, it means he has merirus. Merirus is this atzvus, this bitzovoin techalna, this taivas momoin. Ki ikar taivas momoin shenismait einoi elo alidei bris. Because the main power to be able to contain a person's taivas momoin, to be able to keep it at where it's supposed to be, that a person should know exactly how much they need and what they don't need, what's excess and what isn't, the main ability for that comes through tikkun habris. Ubishvil ze, Rabbeinu Zal says, for this reason, zvulun shehoye oyhev liyisachar. The example that the Torah gives, the Torah tells us that Bnei Yisachar were tzaddikim. They were yoidei bino loitim. They were the talmidei chachamim of Bnei Yisrael. Zvulun loved Yisachar, which means he loved the tzaddik. He was not the choylech on the tzaddik. Therefore, it says about him, nemar boy, smach zvulun. Zvulun can be happy. Smach hepech beitzavoin. That's the opposite of atzvus, the opposite of depression. Soiva semochois esponecho. That's this being filled with simcha on the face. Therefore, Zvulun was able, their money was kosher money. By them, they had the tikkun taivas momoin. They were willing to share, they were willing to do this melach momoin choser, to subtract the percentage of their money that was needed to support the Bnei Yisachar studying Torah. They were willing to take off that percentage and give it. Therefore, by them, it's written simcha. By them, the money wasn't betaiva, it was momoin dikdusha, an penehirin, simcha on their face. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh kishebiksha rochov Simon adachaya." The Navi says that when Yeshua wanted to conquer Eretz Yisrael, he sent two spies first to check out certain things. They came, they met a woman, Rochav, who was willing to help them. And because she helped them, they said that when we come in and take over the land, we're going to let you live. So she asked them, could you give me a sign, a simono dechayo, a sign of life, something that'll be able to show the soldiers not to wipe out this house when they get, you know, when they get here. So the Rabbeinu Zal says now, v'zeh kishebiksha Rochav simono dechayo, when Rochav asked to be given a simon of life, k'moy shekosu, as the pasuk says, v'hechisem es ovi ve'imi, you will allow my father and mother to live. Omro, she said, unesatem li ois emes, give me a sign of truth. She was talking about life. Give me a sign that you'll let us live. She asked for ois emes, because emes is synonymous with chayim. Ki emes hu bechinas chayim kanal, because emes is the opposite of mace. Mace means dead. You add the aleph to it, you change it to the exact opposite of mace, which is chayim. It's that difference. V'omrulo, and they said to her, es tikvas chut hashoni tikshri loch. Take a red string, a red thread, and tie it around the house, and that'll be a sign to know not to harm, not to do any harm to anybody in this house. Rabbeinu Zal explains the words that are used here. Tikvas chut hashoni. Tikva ze bechina semuna. The word tikva means hope, faith. As the pasuk says, v'yesh tikva la'achriseich. There is hope for you in the future. You have a future. You have what to believe in. The emuna hi achris hayomim. Emuna is called the end of days. La achrisech is miloshen achris hayomim. We believe in a Moshiach, in achris hayomim. That's the yisoid emuna. Ki oleho oimdim kol hamidos. Another reason why emuna is called achris hayomim. Yomim is another word for midos. There's a pasuk umidos yomai mahi. Days are a concept of measurement, tzimtzum. A tzimtzum in time is called a day. Umidas yomai mahi, which means that each one of the midos of Hashem, chesed, gevura, tiferes, each one of them represents a day. Chesed is Sunday, gevura is Monday. Emuna, Malchus, the last day, Malchus is the last sphera, the seventh day, the Shabbos. Malchus is called Achris Hayomim. It's the last one of the Midos of Hashem. So Rabbi Nezal says, this is what it means when she said Tikvas, Tikva. Tikva refers to Achrisech, the end. Achrisech, Achris Hayomim is a nickname for Emuna. As the Gemara says, Bo Chavakuk vehemidon alachas. The Gemara says that when Chavakuk wanted to summarize the whole Jewish religion, he said, what's the bottom line? What's the bottom line of the whole Yiddishkeit? V'tzadik be'emunoso yichyeh. Emuna. That with emuna alone, you could be called a tzadik. Person has that alone, he's already a tzadik. So we see that's called Veheemidon al Achas. That was the unterste Shura, the bottom line, the Achris Hayomim of Yiddishkeit. This is the Veyesh Tikvo la Achrisech. So we see that Tikvo represents Emuna. Vechut Hashoni, a red thread. Zebechinas Zrichas Oyer Haponim. That represents the shine of the face. Kamoy Shekosev, as the Pasuk says, Vatikro Shmoi Zorach. She called him Zorach. Zorach means shining. Ki hachoshech yechase eretz, v'olecho yizrach Hashem. There's a pasuk that says, darkness covers up the world, and upon you will shine Hashem, implying that yizrach is an inyan of oyer. It's the opposite of choshech. Ki choshech hu bechinas be'it sovoin, because darkness is a concept of depression, despondency. Daigas v'taiva saparnosa. This corresponds to the worry and the desire for parnosa. Tsar kiflayim kayoleda, which is a pain, a suffering that's twice as difficult as childbirth. Anpin chashuchin, dark faces, avoidezora. That's the ki hachoshech yichase. V'olecho yizrach Hashem. And when we talk about those people upon whom Hashem is shining, emunas elokus, which means faith in Hashem, oyer haponim, the light of the face of Hashem, vayichan pnei ho'ir, uplifting the face, tikkun amatbeya, the concept of being misakin taivas momoin, tikkun taivas momoin, bechinas smach zvulon. This concept of the simcha that zvulon was zeicha to, why were they zeicha to simcha? Because they are the symbol of tikkun taivas momoin. Tikkun taivas momoin doesn't mean not to have money. It means to know which money to hold on to and which money I shouldn't be holding on to. Just like when you salt meat. Meat is red. Red is normally a symbol of bad, evil. Is meat bad? No. There is something in meat that's bad. There's the blood, the dam inside the meat that we have to extract. How do we extract it? Through melach, salt. By extracting the bad blood, we kosher the meat. We make the meat a positive item. So too, when it comes to money, money is also called damim. Damim means blood. Damim means money. When it comes to money also, we have to salt the money by a person showing a willingness that it's not all mine, not all for me, but I'm willing to divide with Hashem. I'm willing to make Hashem my partner. And I'm not interested in having all for myself, but I want some for Hashem, and I want Hashem involved in my earning money. That it's not all me. I don't have a feeling that it's my doing and my that's going to win it, but rather it's Hashem helping me. That whole attitude represents the symbol of Tikkun Taivas Momoin.